Woo. Welcome to Girls in Heels. On today's show, we got a lot to talk about. We had that blizzard going on, but we all survived happily. We're all doing really well, right? We're here in one piece, and everybody survived. And we got to talk about what's going on with Chelsea Handler.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little situation this weekend that I need, it's not really advice, it's more like, well, you'll see. I have a friend that has a problem, and I think you guys can help. Put it that way. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, with my co-host, Teresa Apreya, and Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Hello, girls.
Hello,
Cooper.
Or is it ladies? Do you prefer ladies or
I
girls?
Like
is
girls. Really well, I mean, girls in heels, so.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Hey, girls.
Yeah,
hey, girls.
I'm okay with
We're
girls.
We're ladies. We're not always ladies. Not teasing. Teresa.
I don't like ma'am. I feel like ma'am is like a, you know, it's like saying bitch.
Hey, listen, Teresa cannot stand ma'am. I always say as long as there's no wham bam in front of it,
I'm
rather
fine
with
be
it.
A wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
Teresa thinks it's very like matronly and old.
No, it's just old. It's like, don't call me ma'am. Like, I don't know. You know, even when I was in Italy, I remember even being in my 20s, and when I first got married, they would say, I remember always being signorina, signorina. And then I remember at 20 when I was young, I was married, and they said, signora. I remember that even being like, oh, gosh. I'm not. I don't want to be a senora at 21. I want to be a senorina.
Oh.
I don't know. I just don't like ma'am. You're right, Cooper.
Yeah. And it's been to it comes from. Like, I don't like when I'm at a store and, like, some young girl is like, ma'am, here's your change. It's like, screw you, too.
Exactly. Screw you, bitch. No.
Right. Exactly. Call me miss.
Miss.
I like miss. Yeah.
Me too.
But, you know, we're in denial about our age, so there's that.
You think?
So here's a situation that happened this weekend.
Okay.
So in the midst of this snowstorm and everything going on, I get this call from this friend of mine, and he's desperate. Like, one of his New Year's resolutions was to find a woman in 2016. He's been looking for a woman since I've known him, which is like 10 years now.
Okay.
And he's had a lot of dates, but never like a second date. What? So he's like, this is it. It's my New Year's resolution. And here it is, the end of January. I haven't even been on one date yet. Can you help? The problem is, and I love him dearly, he's 5'3". And he's lovely, he's handsome, he's got a great job, but whenever I set him up with anybody I know, they can't get past his height.
Because they're all taller than him.
I mean everyone's taller than him.
I have to tell you something, that does not bother me. It really doesn't, because number one, then again, I am always kind of around a lot of short men. I mean, my husband's not that tall, but I think that wouldn't bother me.
How tall is Reno?
Teresa? Maybe
I think he's like 5'8", right?
5'8". I mean, I don't know.
He's just about 5'7". Yeah, but that's
maybe 5'7". You know what,
that's a respectable height for
a
guy. 5'3" is shorter than us.
No, but you know what? Listen, I think that as long as he has heart, I think he has to find the right person. When he finds the right person, she's not going to look at his height.
No, but that's the thing. He's trying to find the right person. I mean, he's been trying for years. I mean, Nicole, if I set you, you're single. If I set you up on a date, and the date showed up.
I'm not single anymore, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
Wait,
hypothetically, if I was single and you set me up, Teresa, be quiet, Teresa. So go ahead. If I was.
Okay, if you were single, which we'll get to in a second, you not being single, by the way. If you were still single, I'm shocked that you're not, and I set you up with a guy, I said to you, he's really great, he's got a good job, he's handsome, and he showed up and he was 5'3". You would not want a guy like that. You wouldn't want a guy that short. Because my grandmother always used to say to me, because I'm so little, she said, do not ever date a guy shorter than 5'10", because people will look at you as the little couple and they won't respect
you. No,
not at all. That's what she told me.
That's so sad.
I know.
I think that's very sad. And I think...
Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because when I was like 21, I dated someone and he was such a great guy, maybe even a little younger.
Right.
I'm not going to say his name. And he was really short. He was like my height. And he had everything going for him. He had an amazing job, an amazing family. Sweet, sweet as pie.
She's a little loud in my ear.
And, oh, sorry. Okay, Mia. I'll pot her down a little then.
And my mom told me, Nicole, you can't marry him. I said, Mom, he is like the perfect package. And she said, because you'll have little tiny kids.
So
she didn't say that.
I think that's horrible.
I think that's so mean.
Reno and I aren't the tallest, and Giovanni is a nice height. Giovanni's a really nice height, so you don't know. If I was him, I would just start seriously praying, because if he's not meeting the right person, I think that's just
maybe
my
opinion. Maybe he's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Well, I think you're right about that, because I know for a fact that he's met girls that have liked him, but he's rejected them. Okay. So he's very picky. I'm like,
all right.
I finally said to him, I'm like, dude, you're 5'3". You can't afford to be as picky as you are. I mean, I've set you up with some very nice women that you've rejected for stupid reasons.
Well, maybe he's being a little superficial.
All right, is he good looking?
Very.
This is going to sound superficial.
Very. He's really handsome.
All right, so then what's the problem? See, height doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. So I think he's just looking in the wrong places.
Hey, listen,
in bed
you're all the same size.
That's true.
Exactly. Horizontally.
<Let's hope>.
Horizontally. I mean, really.
That's what they say, whether you're 65 feet. You're all the same size in bed.
I'm around a lot of short guys. I have to be honest with you. We laugh. I mean, Italians aren't the tallest people.
Right.
So, I mean, to us, me and my friends' husbands, I don't even know if that was grammatically correct. Me and my friend. But anyway, our friends are not the tallest people, and they're the greatest guys, and they're so much fun.
And they have huge hearts.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, listen, they better either have a huge heart or a huge wallet. Somebody I once knew said, you know, when they stand on their wallet, they're very, very tall. So, you know what? There's something that's always going to bring them to that next level. So, I always say it's always going to balance out. So, he may be short, but you know what? Maybe he's really, really good looking, or maybe he's very, very successful, or he has a really, really good heart and he's a giver. Something is going to attract the right woman to him.
Right.
I mean, the right lady.
Well, we have
a few
single friends, so let's set him up on
TV. Set him up.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's a great idea.
I have my friend Andrea, my friend Adriana.
Let's
get it going,
Let's be the matchmaker.
Okay, we could try that. I'm telling you, he's very handsome, he's very smart, he's very successful. But I got to say, he's just too picky. I think you're making a good point. He's just way too picky. He's definitely a catch. So the height is irrelevant.
Well, then he needs to stop being that picky.
Yeah, that's
all right,
good.
He needs to open, you know, keep his options open, but he needs to... simmer down a little bit.
Talk about the blizzard.
Yes.
How did everyone do this weekend? First blizzard of 2016.
Well, we took advantage of the fact that people were not going to be coming into the city to see Hamilton. So we went and we scooped up cheap tickets to see Hamilton.
I'm dying to see it. My mom is dying to take the boys.
But people that had the tickets that couldn't get into the city, they were selling them like crazy online. And then my girlfriend and I got tickets, and my boyfriend came also. And he was just walking up and down the line saying, anybody got an extra ticket? And one guy
That's
was like,
awesome.
We have an extra ticket, sold it to him for face value.
Unbelievable.
Doesn't Joe also, your boyfriend Joe was the one who originally told me that is an excellent play that we have to go see it.
It's the best. It is the best musical. I hate musicals. I usually say I'd rather be kicked in the head repeatedly than sit through a musical.
Really?
But I don't like them at all. They're corny. I don't like them. I can't stop thinking about it.
And Joe's a good judge of character, with plays.
Yeah.
Doesn't he write or something?
He's a theater critic.
Okay, that's what I thought.
On Theater Pizzazz. So if you go to Theater Pizzazz, you can check out his theater reviews. And he's a really good reviewer, a really good writer.
So
and
I trust him.
He saw it twice, loved it both times. And, I mean, it's a cool musical, plus it's the history of our country and forefathers, and it's fun. Everybody in it's really talented. So there's something in it for everybody.
Oh, good. I see it.
Doesn't have rap in it as well?
Yeah, well, most of the music
is rap, right?
That's why Cooper loved it.
Oh, that's right.
She's a rapper girl.
Rapping, yes. Uh-huh. Okay,
There was a 90-year-old guy in front of me, head bobbing the whole time, stood up, gave a standing ovation. So I'm telling you,
all right,
Dick Cheney saw it. Oh, the Obamas saw it twice. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's about the history of our country, and it's told in such a way that they should start bringing it around to schools to educate kids about that time in our history. It was brilliant.
Brilliant. We have to see it now.
And
you know what? Well, you did something fun in the storm. Let me ask you, only because we are all pet lovers, and I know for people who, made it through the storm.
Yeah.
Were you nervous about leaving Marconi?
leaving? Oh, you mean when I went to see the play?
Everyone was, I don't know. There were so many people in Jersey, they would not leave their house because of their dogs. It was insane.
Were they worried
in
about?
In case there was like a power
outage. Oh, a power outage. Yeah.
And you know what I told them? Girls, like, we like ventured out and we all went to one of our girlfriend's houses. And we're like, we're going to stay there and just enjoy the whole day. Have cocktails and food and party all together.
When they said state of emergency and we were supposed to be in.
Oh, come on.
You went out.
And we were
all right, listen.
Wait a second.
Okay, listen. Picking up everybody to bring them to my friend Dawn and Nick's house.
Did you bring your new boyfriend, Nicole?
No, because he was home with his dog.
See, okay. He was home with his dog.
He loves dogs.
The guy has a dog?
And yes. He loves dogs.
I love him.
Dogs. Dog lover to no avail, yes.
Okay,
Before you tell me what you did in the storm, just tell me, I know you can't tell me much about him, and I'm not going to say very much, but just, are you happy?
Very happy.
Okay, so when you can tell us, you will.
Yes, I will.
Okay, but for now, you're happy, and that's all we need to know.
Absolutely.
Okay, fine. All right, so what?
Just know that I really, really like him.
I gotta say, Nicole, I'm happy you like him. The fact that Teresa likes him is everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Because she's very judgmental about the men you date.
Yeah,
I am.
Very protective, Teresa.
I'm very protective and I'm very wise. Being your twin, I'm very wise. I could be like a psychologist. I've seen the men you date and I've seen, you know, from the narcissist to the sociopaths to the good guys.
Right.
To, you know, but this is one person that he's so in love with you. And you know what? What I love about him is that he's such a giver. Mm. My sister Nicole is such a giver that you've always given. You've always been such a giver in the relationship. And men have taken. And, you know, it's always been kind of one-sided where you've given and given and given and given, where now it's time for you to just receive. And you're a giver as well, but to receive the love and to... And I always said that, you know, Cooper, like, talking about that and... You know, we were talking last week even in our podcast about...
When I would get discouraged.
When you would get...
In life or relationships.
Just about our thinking and our thought system and where we want to be in life and, you know, New Year's resolutions and our thought process. And one thing I'd say for everybody out there, Nicole was single. You were single for a long time. You know, you had a bad breakup in your marriage, and which you didn't want. But it wasn't like everything was
because
always...
Because I did want to be married.
Right.
For the rest of my life. When I got married, it was till the day I die.
Right.
And divorce is a very hard...
Yeah, my great-grandparents married 50 years, my parents married 50 years, so I always saw this longevity in marriages and the sanctity in it, which I never thought I would be divorced.
Right.
So how did you look at that when I got divorced? I was divorced.
You remarried the guy. It doesn't count anymore.
I remarried 11 years, but I always knew that. You never...
Boom.
Boom. That's smarter. That's stupid. But, Teresa, when you were divorced for 11 years, you never wanted to remarry. And you always said that. I knew the day that I got divorced, I said, I loved being married. I think it's a beautiful thing. So I knew I always wanted to one day get married again and grow old with the person who... I'm truly in love with and who is truly in love with me.
Yeah, but Nicole, because that was your goal, I think you did a better job of picking a guy the next time around. You know, because you were able to see, I was really proud of you when you broke up with people that were horrible to you or people that were horrible that we all hated. We won't say who.
Yes.
But I thought you did a really good job for yourself in making those choices because a lot of women would just glom on to the first guy just to not be alone. You were not afraid to be alone. You were waiting for the right guy. So the fact that you're happy now and the fact that Teresa likes him, I mean, I'm so happy for you. This is great. I can't wait till you can tell us about him.
Yeah,
and more importantly,
you.
I can't wait to meet him.
Exactly. We're going to have a lot of fun. And that's the thing what I want to make a point to everybody listening to this. I think we were talking about before, Cooper, this is very therapeutic for all of us as well, for our listeners. And everyone could learn something and take something away from this podcast every week, whether, you know, whatever age you are, female, male, whatever, young, old. I think it's very important. The main thing I was really hit me last night and resonated with me as I couldn't sleep was hope. Everyone needs to have hope today. You know, Nicole's beautiful. She's, you know, you're charismatic. Not everything was always good for you, or not everything, like people say, oh, you guys are great and you're always energetic and you're happy. Yeah, but not everyone is always in a great place all the time.
Mm-hmm.
People have struggles. People have pain. People are going through different situations. I want everyone who's out there today to know, have hope. And do you guys know what hope stands for?
What?
Oh, my gosh.
It stands for something?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Hope.
Like the word hope? Yep. Like H-O-P.
H-O-P. What is it, an acronym? What do they call
an acronym?
Those?
Oh, okay.
Is it an acronym?
Okay, yeah.
What's I don't know, maybe. Who knows? I was never great.
Is an acronym like almost like, hold, see you next Tuesday?
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I like that one. Yeah, I'll go with yes on that.
Okay. Well, you know what? I love this, and I always...
I love that's what you came up with.
Dear God, how's about like ASAP? As soon as possible. Not see you next Tuesday, Nicole. RSVP. I mean, something like that.
Okay, so what is HOPE an acronym for?
Hold on, pain ends.
What? Where'd you hear that?
Hold
That's amazing.
Hold on, pain ends. Oh, my God. I just read it recently. And I was like, wow. I'm like, here I am in my 40s. I've never heard that before. But I've always had hope. Hope to me is exciting because no matter what I've been through and no matter what situation anyone is going through, have hope. Hold
right.
on, pain ends. And you know what, Nicole? I always said that to you when there were times where you were maybe feeling discouraged.
I was in pain. It wasn't just, oh, I'm going to get out of this relationship.
Right.
I did love that person. And
right.
we did have wonderful times. And a part of me did think, oh, my goodness, is this the person that I'm going to marry next and spend the rest of my life with. So it wasn't bad when you say horrible. It's not like he treated me horrible. It's just I saw things in a relationship that I said, I don't know if this is the person for me. That's all.
But
and
what,
I wasn't completely
you know
happy.
What?
He
yeah.
wasn't fulfilling
right.
me.
Right.
So I did. When I did walk away, it wasn't like I'm happy now. No, I did go through pain. And I did have some hard times. And I did feel sad. Some days.
But the pain you went through was more like grief, I think. Like it was the grief for losing the future that you imagined for yourself and the future that you held when you first met the person you were excited and thought about the rest of your life.
Right.
I think because as I've gotten to know you, Nicole, I've realized that you're very good at seeing people who they really are. You don't idealize men especially, which is very, I think a lot of women our age do. You see a guy and you idealize them and you can't get past that. You're very good at getting past that. I think your grief was about getting over the future you imagined and not about the guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Teresa would always say that, have hope. And I love that. Have hope. And now that I know what it stands for.
Hold on, pain ends. And you know what? I think it's very important.
Hold
like
on.
What we were saying about, you know, starting 2016. Like people say, well, you know, about being positive and not being negative. It sounds so superficial. Just, you know, on the surface. But there is more to that. How do you do it? People say, well, what makes you the person you are? To me, it is my faith. You know, I do, you know, I read a lot. I pray a lot. There are times, Nicole, where you've said, oh, your faith is so much stronger than mine, right?
Well, sometimes, as strong as my faith is, sometimes I've been let down in the past.
Right.
And I've almost got, like, angry at God. I'm like, why did this happen? Like, even in my marriage, I did everything right. I went to church every Sunday. I prayed. I delivered food to the poor 3 days a week out of the trunk of my car. Like, I did so much, and I just felt like, why did this happen? Why did this happen, God? So there are times in my life where I did get a little angry, and I closed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I should not have, but I would always say, you stay so strong through even hard times. Like, you just, like, persevere with that. So I'm grateful to have my sister where you were constant reminder, like, don't give up, you know, have your faith, Nicole.
And I think that's why, to me, and no matter what faith you are or whatever your belief in, I respect that. I'm not knocking anybody's or being self-righteous and saying my faith is better, but I'm just saying what works for me.
Right.
God is like my rock. And I always feel like it's like a bow and arrow. When you're being pulled back so far, like stretched back like a bow and arrow, the further you're being stretched, I feel like when that lets go, it's like God catapults you. You know, he accelerates you so much further where we should be. We all have a destiny where God wants us to be the best. And I feel like, you know, sometimes people are wanting. They're not getting to where they want to go. I do feel prayer works to say, you know what, God, make this happen for me. Make this happen because I need this right now. I'm suffering or I'm in pain or this is bothering me. Or maybe even financially I'm not where I want to be or successful or marriage-wise or for your friend that's not married. To me, I feel as though, you know what, God wants us to reach our potential. With him, I feel like it could happen like Godspeed. Like my belief is so strong where I always knew with you, I would say, Nicole, like someone very close to us just lost his job. And it was so funny, I told my mom, I said, actually my dad is in construction, right? He's a project
right.
manager.
Mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, there was he worked for a very big company. He's brilliant, my dad. There was the job ended. There was no more work. So that his boss just in 3 days tells him, well, you know what? There's the job is finished right now. We don't really have work, so you should really take some time off. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Thursday's your last day.
In 3 days. And I said,
he told me, didn't tell anyone.
He was not telling my mother because he's like, uh-oh, mommy's going to be. And my father loves to work. And my, you know, he's amazing. He just goes and goes and goes. And so finally I told my mom and I said, and I was just smiling. I was like laughing. She goes, why are you smiling? I'm like, Mom, I'm like, I feel like this is amazing. Like, this is just, I don't know, I feel so good about this. Mm. Like, God closed one door, he is going to bring something so much better.
Right.
Like, this is an answered prayer. I'm like, you've been praying. I'm like, I keep on smiling. I can't even contain myself. I'm
because
like,
we've been praying and praying for a month that my,
because
that
he was,
my father
finds something. Because he was traveling
far. So many hours a day.
He was driving like 4 hours a day, but he loved it. He is like, he just loves what he does. So now all of a sudden, in a matter, and let me tell you, my father's in his 70s. He looks like he's about 50.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, within one day, his friend calls him. He's like, oh, my God, there's this amazing position, project manager. I mean, great money, great position. Opens up and he gets it within
what?
2 days.
That's amazing.
But especially even
that's great.
You know, it's always just awesome.
And it's closer.
It's closer.
But that's part. You know, that's part of that whole hope message. And
it's
Teresa,
hope.
But I like what you're saying about the hope thing because it sort of falls into that whole like it gets better. You know, that whole campaign that like you know for gay teens and the whole thing that was started by Dan Savage and his husband. It's that same message. It gets better. That wherever you are right now, when you're in a really bad place, it's hard to imagine your future and that it's going to be better than it is right now. But of course it is. Like
it
you're not going to stay in that place. People can't sustain that type of like bad times too long. So eventually you're going to do something else. You'll get into another industry, you'll find a new man, you'll change something. Like you just will. It just happens and people around you help you. Like that's a really good example that your dad's friend came up and said, like, there's another job. Like,
that's amazing.
That's the idea. That people are, that's why you have to reach out to people and let them know what you're feeling,
yes.
What's going on, because you never know. Even just the way now, I said that my friend who's 5'3 can't find a guy. You said, let's set him up with
let's
people.
Let's set him up.
I reached out to you on his behalf.
And
so
you know
it's
what?
About
and
reaching out.
Absolutely, Cooper. And that's what I said. This world we live in, we have to lift each other up. We have to help each other out. So if someone's listening to this now, you know what? Maybe they don't have a friend they could talk to. Maybe just like, no, like hope is huge. Friends help each other out. It could be a radio show. It could be a book. It could be something. But just know, like you said, it ends. It just during when you're going through that time, like, and that's what people ask me all the time. Well, your life is great right now. No, it's not great all the time. But you know what? You have to just push through life, because I'll tell you one thing, when negativity comes about, that is like a fire that is burning, and it's just like you want to keep that fire burning and pushing forward with all the strength you have,
right?
And negativity is just like throwing water on the fire, and it's like boop, uh-oh, you're back to square one. So
push through, everybody.
Push through and,
you guys,
and surround yourself.
You guys are very good at being positive about things. Like, I've seen bad things happen in your lives, and you're just like, oh, we'll get through it. Like, it's amazing how you don't wallow in it and you don't ruminate on it. That's a great quality, and I think...
Thank you.
I think that's how you get through hard times, is that you know that good times are ahead, and you focus on those.
But at the same time...
And look forward, exactly.
But at the same time, Teresa, we do. If we're going through hard times, sometimes you notice I want to just be by myself and sit on the couch. And if I do get in that where I just want to wallow in my misery, it's time where we do get out of ourselves and we surround ourselves with people who we love, whether it's a family member or friends. It's really important to surround yourself with people who you want to be with.
Your animals.
And lift you up. Your animals.
Your animals.
Oh, my God.
Whatever it may be. Speaking of animals, I just have to tell you something, because, you know, I don't really sleep. But I have to say, I like not sleeping. Like, I will never take a sleep aid. I won't. You know why? Because I do some of my best thinking in the middle of the night, like 3 in the morning. And you know what I figure?
What?
Like, people go to bed 11 and they're up 5 in the morning. They start their day. There are times that, guess what? If I wake up and I decide to go to bed 4 in the morning, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, okay, but I have a few hours sleep. That's more than enough sleep that some people get their whole nighttime, you
Teresa,
know?
Are you a super sleeper?
Such as, what does that mean?
That's like a super sleeper is a new, it's sort of like a relatively new concept that it's...
Tell me.
Drinking your coffee.
slurping your coffee.
It's the idea that there's some people out there that can sleep 4 hours, between 3 and 4 hours, and they're fine. Like, that's all they need, and they're called super sleepers. It's a very small percentage of the population. But, you know, some of us need 6 to 8 hours. I need 10. But there are some people that can sleep 4 hours, and they're fine. Is that you?
It is. And you know what? I actually took this test from my nutritionist. Oh, my gosh. He, like, sticks these... They're like these little electrolodes or something. I don't know.
Electrodes?
Thank you. Electrolodes. Yeah.
Electrodes.
Electrodes. Syllables on there.
Yeah. It sounds like some sort of sex act that he did to you.
Electrolodes. Electrodes. And he put them on me. It's so weird. It tests your whole stress level and how you rebound from stress.
Oh, wow.
Do you know that I seriously got a level one? He goes practically, even at my age.
Is one good?
It's excellent.
Oh, okay.
It's like 1 through 4. He goes, practically nobody. He had to call the doctor. And he goes, practically nobody gets a 1. A very small percentage gets a 1. He goes, a 2 is really good. He goes, you got a 1. I bounce back really good. He goes, you do not require a lot of sleep. I don't know how these electrodes monitored this or even tested it. It's so wild.
Well, I want to try that.
So,
yeah.
No, because you know why? I don't. As long as I have to say, that's what I get back to. Stress is really... exhausting to me. So, I mean, as long as I keep on going, I like to keep busy.
Right.
I don't need a lot of sleep, as long as I'm doing stuff and keeping active. But one thing about me, I may sleep from 4, you know, go to sleep 4 in the morning. I'll wake up at 10. That's more than enough hours. I mean, that's 6 hours sleep.
Right.
That's a lot. And then throughout the day, I'll go. If I know I have something in the evening, I'll take an hour nap, and I'll be good. Even a half hour, cat nap, woo, rejuvenates me. I'm ready
to go. But, Teresa, don't they say the sleep before 12 o'clock is the sleep that matters, not after 12 o'clock?
Yes,
I always hear that.
But that's for children. I'm past that. I'm not growing anymore. My brain is already developed.
Is that true for children? I never heard that.
I always heard that.
It is. They say the sleep before 12, yeah.
That counts.
For kids.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder why that is. Like, isn't sleep sleep?
It's something with, right, the REM and the whole bit. Yeah, something about that.
Oh, okay. Must be something developmentally. And as a developmental psychologist, I should know, but I don't.
That's okay. We just can't know everything, Cooper.
Well, let's talk about, we were talking before the show about Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
And I love that, Teresa, you brought it up because you're very good at keeping up with pop culture, because I saw pictures of her in, like, some weird wedding dress. And I just thought, ugh, what's she up to now? So why don't you tell us what she's up to now.
Oh, my gosh. She's doing a 4-part documentary for Sundance. And
well, it's at Sundance, but it's for Netflix.
Oh, yes, for Netflix.
It'll be
Netflix. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Cooper. This is why we all need each other.
Mm-hmm.
Brain functions perfectly between the three of us.
The three of us are one brain.
Thank you. Thank you.
Scary.
So maybe I do need more sleep. On the other hand, yeah, 4-part for Netflix. So it's about marriage, it's about Silicon Valley, it's about drugs, it's about alcohol, sex. She's hysterical. So she gets drunk and stoned on camera.
Cool.
Okay? But you know what I liked about her? Because at first I said, what the heck is she doing? But she said, I'm not glorifying it. I'm just showing people, like, if that's the way you want to rock, if that's the way you want to roll.
Like,
I think it was
pot?
Just, no, I think it was
like
just weed. No.
Weed, okay.
What the heck is she going to do? I mean, she's not going to start shooting up, God forbid. No.
So this is heroin. These are my track marks.
Yeah, these are my, exactly. So that's another topic we'll get into. I want to ask you something after being the psychologist.
I'm not that smart, so don't ask
no,
me
but
hard
maybe
question.
We could have like a conversation.
Okay.
It's actually about weed, but she says, "Hey, listen, I just want people to see on camera what they really look like drunk and what they look like stoned. You know, if that's the way you want to rock, girls, then go ahead. It's your prerogative.
Well,
you know,
being housewives, we know what we look like having some
cocktails. I thought
on
that.
Teresa.
I thought that.
I
said, if there's one thing I learned, Andy Cohen had asked me
at the reunion.
He said, if there's one thing you learned from doing Housewives and being on camera, what was it? And I said, never to mix alcohol and cameras.
Wow, that's a brilliant statement.
That's what I came up with. But,
and, you know, that's for all of us. I mean, not just you guys who are on television, but everybody, because everyone has a cell phone now, so you don't want to get drunk and have some guy take a video of you at a party and then put it up on his Facebook page.
I know, but let's see if I could if
so
I can
stick
with
that. You say it, but you don't know if you believe it.
But it's true. it's just hard. You know, when there's a party scene, you know, and everyone's having a party, and then you have a cocktail, it's kind of hard to be like, oh, no, when you want to just have fun.
But all of those shows on Bravo, especially the Real Housewives shows, I mean, they rely on alcohol. I think that that's like the sixth cast member. It's like,
they do, but again, it's up to us. We're old enough to make that decision. I have to say, you know, so many people blame the alcohol. Oh, you know, I remember Jim said, oh, you better not show that part Amber was drinking. Well, guess what? We're adults.
Right.
So it's up to us.
She chose to drink.
We chose to do it.
Yeah.
And that's that. So they don't say you have to drink. They put it there. It's up to us whether
we... Yeah, but did you hear, and I have to look into this, I'm not sure.
What?
And Nicole, actually, you just got 2 tickets for a fundraiser from Anzi. I know you emailed him the other day. But now all of a sudden, I think Reno was telling me that they're not serving alcohol anymore on Watch What Happens Live. Is that true?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Oh.
I have to look into that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm going
to
Google that.
Andy is awesome. Anytime I need tickets for my fundraisers, he just gets, boom, right back to me, and he always helps out.
Yeah, he's great. And, you know, talking about that, too, I saw, you know, talking about weed and pot, which everybody knows I am so...
What was your question about weed?
I'm so against drugs. You know, I was looking at, what's his name? Scott, you remember the guy from Creed? The guy from Creed.
Scott Stapp?
Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, he was in recovery.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andy Cohen says he won't drink on Watch What Happens Live.
He won't.
You can get as drunk as you want.
See?
He is going to stop drinking.
He's going to stop drinking.
Maybe he listens to you, Drew.
Maybe he listens to my
hand.
Don't mix caramel and alcohol.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What were you saying?
No, but that's Scott Snap.
Stapp.
Stapp. Stapp. S-T-A-P-P. Right.
Yeah.
He was actually, I didn't realize, you know, I liked him years ago, Creed.
Mm-hmm.
He was my favorite, but I liked him. I thought he was, like, so wholesome, and I remember him singing when his baby was born, eyes wide open. I was like, oh, what a great husband. No, he got divorced. He literally was in a downward spiral. 10 years, I heard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, alcoholism, drugs. Wait, he fell off the penthouse in the Delano Hotel in Miami.
So did he die?
No. He fractured his skull, his ribs, and guess who found him? My favorite, T.I. I love T.I. The rapper.
T.I. found him?
T.I. found him.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love
T.I. Uh-huh.
Love him and Tiny.
Yeah, he's...
I think we have to have them on our
podcast. Do you watch that show?
I do. Love them.
Yeah.
I love him as a rapper, though. I think he's adorable. He doesn't look that tall, either.
No, he does look tiny.
He looks tiny.
I mean,
she's tiny.
Her name is Tiny.
I just think they're adorable.
T.I. stands for Tiny.
Yeah, he's hot. He's one of my little man crushes.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I think he's so cute. But he found him. But the whole point being is he's back now, which was so good to see. He's back. He's now even going on tour.
Right.
He's saying maybe something with Creed in the future. But I was saying, what makes, right? And we have this long conversation. You know, I have a teenager.
Right.
He's 19. Nicole has an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, okay? We were saying this. You have to be very careful. And I always tell kids this, even with drinking, everything in moderation. I've seen alcoholism. I've seen the destruction that it's done to families and people. You know, I've been there firsthand, you know? So as much as I, you know, and it's very hard because I make a lot of jokes about alcohol. I do enjoy my cocktails. But it's a very fine line, and we all know that. You have to be very careful. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't have an addictive personality. I could drink and not drink for another month or so. You know, then I could drink for 3 days straight. I'm okay with it. My whole attitude, my behavior doesn't change in a bad sense. I'm not abusive. You know, or you have to just, there's a fine line. But with drugs, this is just my opinion, and I see, and there are some of my friends. There's a very fine line today with weed. There are some people that I know who smoke pot. I don't. To me, I always tell my son, you do drugs, you're dead, because I've seen too much ruination with it going further.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Being, you know, pot being a gateway drug. But now... For some people. And that's my point. What makes it, I guess, does it come down to addiction? Like, the kids were talking to us, and Nicole's son was saying, you know, there are kids that I know in school, and they're on the honor roll, and they made Ivy League colleges, and they smoke weed, and their brains are fine. And then you see some people who are who could smoke weed, right?
I know. I can answer.
What makes some people successful, and then some people spiral into addiction, and then some people could thrive from it, and then some people fail from it?
There's actually some very interesting research, and it's called multiple pathways is the type of research this is. And what that says is that it really comes down to the individual, and that if you get 10, let's say, alcoholics in a room, the 10 of them are alcoholics for 10 different reasons. You know, one of them might have it, you know, in his family. It's a long line of alcoholics. Somebody else might have been abused as a child. Somebody else may have a mother who's depressed and they use alcohol to assuage their own depression. Another one, I mean, everybody has, 10 people have 10 different reasons why they're alcoholics. So the answer to your question is, it depends on the individual, the individual's brain chemistry, their family history, why they're drinking and doing drugs. You know, I mean, some people, it's just recreational. What they say when you look at somebody who's quote-unquote addicted, addiction is not about how much you do or how often you do. It's about the consequences.
Yes.
So I have a girlfriend.
See, that's my point.
I have a girlfriend who is an amazing mother. She gets stoned probably 3 to 5 days a week. She does.
Really?
She's an amazing mom. She runs a business, but she loves her weed.
Does she smoke at night when the child's sleeping?
Yeah. Kid goes to bed. She pulls out her, you know, whatever, she smokes out of. I don't even know anymore. A pipe. Who knows? Joints.
Vapor things they have or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe she's vaping. Maybe maybe she goes old school and takes an apple and cores it out. I don't know.
Those vapor thing causes, like, they call popcorn lungs. Like, they're not safe.
No, nothing's safe anymore.
Nothing.
We take a risk of everything. I'm eating yogurt
so
here.
This
That's
is wild about this.
Yeah, so she, for her, it's fine. You know, I have other friends who, even the littlest bit, they can't go to work the next day, they're in trouble at work. That's a consequence. You know, you smoke a little pot, the next day you feel terrible, or you feel, you know, whatever you've done to yourself, you need more, or alcohol, you can't go to work the next day. Anything that has a consequence to it is the problem. There's functional alcoholics, there's functional potheads.
Yes.
So, you know, the answer is, if it's not a consequence, if it's not a problem, if it has no negative impact on your life and you enjoy doing it and you're an adult, you know, have at it, I guess. It's entirely up to you when you're an adult.
Right.
You can make
more
that decision.
Like Russian roulette, like, okay, this one, empty,
that's
a blank, empty, blank, next one, loaded. You don't know how it's going.
Well, I guess what you're saying, Cooper,
it's
is
trial
you
and
don't
error.
Know for these young kids growing
how
up today, you
yeah.
don't know their brain chemistry. So
exactly.
every single individual is
different.
Different, right. And that's what I was kind of really enthralled with. Like, I was looking at all different types of people that I know, people in the industry, children, you know, and saying, wow, what makes, and you know, successful adults, what makes them function? Like you said, some people can't. So I guess it's brain chemistry. But explaining that to children is very difficult.
It depends,
like Nicole,
who their
said,
role models are. Because look, Chelsea Handler, you brought her up.
Mm.
She's a famous alcoholic. She has a book called Hello Vodka, It's Me, Chelsea.
And she functions.
She functions very well. She loves her alcohol. Look at all the rappers who smoke a lot of weed. Chris Brown. I mean, they all. He's another example, but all these rappers smoke a ton of weed.
That's not a good one.
That's not a good one.
He gets angry.
But a lot of these rappers, very successful, lots of money. It's a very competitive industry now, and yet they smoke, and the consequences are nil because they're very successful.
No, but that upsets me, just from my point of view. And once again, it upsets me because I don't like. You're right, and I mean, I know all different ages listen to this podcast. You're right. As adults, you can make your own decisions as adults. But as children, I feel as from a mother's point of view, that's why you just have to tell your kids, don't do drugs. Because you and trust me, my son does not do drugs. No, because I want to tell you, it upsets me that my son does not do drugs. He does, and he never smoked weed. But it upsets me when I even hear him, who's an intelligent, young, good kid, say, but mom, look at all these rappers. They're so successful.
And
it makes them creative. It makes them so creative.
Some of them make them creative. Some of them, I mean, look at the ones that don't do well.
The
reason why it's a good idea for kids not to do drugs is because their brains are still developing and you don't know the consequences yet. So if as an adult you want to make that choice, have at it. But for kids, it's not a good choice because you don't know if your kid is going to end up to be the one that's going to be addicted and have the problem.
Thank you. That's perfectly
and drinking
said. Just as bad, Teresa.
But
it's
that's
just
what I
dangerous.
Said.
And these but that's why you got to teach these kids everything in moderation. But for all the kids listening out there, guess what? And for the mothers, I'm sorry. I think mothers do need advice today. And I say this out of all humility, but people say, oh, write a book, Teresa. Write a book about raising kids. And, you know, Giovanni's a really awesome kid. I said, he's far from perfect, but he is good. But one thing, it's the old, old motto, just say no. Kids need to learn that saying.
And
as mothers listening to this and fathers listening, you got to teach your kids at a young age.
Well,
just
the scary
say
thing
no.
Is,
but wait
no.
a second.
So many parents are smoking
That's
weed.
Exactly what I was going to say.
And I know for a fact, some of my boys friends' parents smoke pot, and they don't
right.
think it's a big deal. So I know they're smoking pot. So how are they really enforcing on their children?
They're not.
They know.
They're not.
But see, Nicole, that's a very important point. That's what I was about to say. And the thing is, if you are going to smoke pot and you don't want your kids to smoke pot, don't let them know you smoke. Because my girlfriend that I just told you about, who smokes 3 to 5 days a week, her son, she found pot. Her 16-year-old son, she found pot with him, and she grounded him. So, yeah, because she was like, I don't mean to laugh.
I'm sorry. It's just so hypocritical, right?
No, but it's
no,
not.
No, but he's a child.
That's
why
point.
Adults drink.
She
adults
said to me,
drink.
She said to
shitting.
Me, yeah, she said to me, she said, I thought I did a good job of hiding it from him, and maybe I did, because the argument, he didn't say to me, well, you smoke. She said, at least he didn't say that. So I don't know if he knows that I do or don't.
Right. Okay.
But I let him know that when he's an adult, if he wants to make that choice, he can. But at 16, under my roof, he is not smoking pot.
Thank you. I think kids have too much to say today. You know, children must be, like, seen and not heard. No, at times, that's true. Children need to know that we are the adults, they're children. They do not have that much power. They're not allowed to have that much power. They're
right.
children. When they're living under our roof, we are paying the bills. Kids today still need to know. I think maybe as parents, maybe it's our fault. We've given them too much power. So we got to take that away a little bit. Pull back the reins.
I got to say, you guys, parenting, oh, I don't know how you do it. There's no way. Like, every time we have conversations about parenting, I'm like, you know, there's a side of me that I think, oh, I wonder if I should have had children. And then I talk to you two, I'm like, oh, thank God, I didn't have kids.
No, it's great. It's great. Marconi
doesn't talk back to you. That's awesome.
No, he's great.
I
like
love
that.
My boys, though. We have the best boys.
All right, it's that time again. We've come to another end of this week's Girls in Heels. Thank you so much for listening. Spread the word about us. Email us your thoughts and questions, girlsinheelspodcast@gmail.com. Special thanks to our producers, Anthony and Dennis. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Teresa, Nicole, and I are back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels.
And write reviews.
And write reviews.
Yes, and everyone have hope.
Let's sleep.
Yeah.
Have
and it
hope.
Stands for?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to tell you guys. You all know. Hold on, pain ends.